do you remember when you were in grade school? Not when you were like in high school or middle school, but when you were in grade school, how messages made their way from person to person? Right? It probably went something like this. We're having cake and ice cream, pass it on! Right? I mean, that's how it was for me anyway. You know, somebody heard, we're having cake and ice cream, and then all around recess, kids were running around, we're having cake and ice cream, pass it on. We're having cake and ice cream, pass it on. Pass it on, pass it on. And this is how the message went, right? You got a message that was of great interest to you, and then you were exhorted, encouraged, challenged to go pass that message on to somebody else. And then you would go do that, right? Well, this morning we're in 2 Timothy, and it is that kind of a message. It's the kind of message that Paul is passing on to Timothy and encouraging Timothy to pass on to others. And in fact, this is so important that we are only going to look at two verses today. And the reason that we're going to only look at two verses today is because this is the theme, the center of what the whole series is, okay? So if you turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2, we're looking at verses 1 and 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So as Paul starts, you know, in this letter that he's writing to Timothy, as he moves to this piece, he's saying, okay, Timothy, you then. In contrast to what I've just been saying, and in relation to what I've just been saying, you now, therefore, must. Okay, so some of you are going, oh, what did we talk about last week? I'm trying to remember. I'll catch you up real quick. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. That was last week. Don't be ashamed of the gospel, but be willing to suffer for the sake of the message of Christ. Don't be ashamed of it. Be willing to suffer for it. Because Paul is saying, look, the message of Christ is that Jesus Christ himself suffered. And now I, Paul, as I am preaching this message, am imprisoned and am suffering for the sake of the gospel of Christ. And now there are those who are falling away, who are refusing to claim to be Christians, who are abandoning me because they are ashamed of me and because they are ashamed of the gospel and are unwilling to suffer for the cause of Christ. There are a couple who are still remaining true, and I am remaining true, and I am encouraging you, Timothy, don't be ashamed, but be willing to suffer for the sake of the gospel. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You then, my child, you then, let me give you some fatherly wisdom. As my spiritual child, Timothy, I am writing to you and I am encouraging you, be strengthened. Be strengthened. Notice that it doesn't say, become strong. Right? It doesn't say, be strong even. It says, be strengthened. This is something that Timothy is supposed to allow to happen to him. Isn't that weird? I mean, when I think about being strong, you know, I think of like, man up. Man up. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Let's get this done. Quit sniveling, you little whiner. Man up. Man up. I mean, that's what I think of. People challenging me or challenging others. They don't often have to challenge me. But they challenge one another, right? Be strong. Endure. You can do it. You must do it. Be the hero. And this is be strengthened. Allow yourself to be made strong. You don't have to do it, Timothy. I know you. I know you. You're a good man, but you can be timid. Be strengthened. Allow yourself to be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That's how we're to be made strong. So when Timothy is maybe challenged and looking at possibly being ashamed of the gospel, when Timothy is looking in the face of suffering and going, oh, I just don't know if I can endure this. I just don't know if I can continue on. I just don't know if I can press on through this. What he is supposed to do is reflect on the grace that is in Christ Jesus and be strengthened by that. And this is our challenge too then, right? Be strong in grace. Be strong in grace. I'm not telling you that you must be strong. You don't have to be strong. It's really difficult to be strong. Sometimes life is difficult. There are challenges. We get tired. I find that I am at my worst when I am tired and hungry. I mean, the worst. You don't want to be around me when I'm not strong. I'm weak. Be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. One of the other times that I'm at my worst is when I'm not being strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. I mean, how would you do that, right? How do you become strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus? You take God's Word and you open it up. And we find strength in God's Word. We open it up and we read it and we see things like this, right? You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And we go, that feels better. More recently than I'd like to admit, I found myself at a low. I found myself struggling to do the things that I knew were right. And I was under a lot of stress, and I wasn't managing my physical health that well, but I was really trying just to do whatever it took to push through. And I was talking with one of the other pastors, and he said, have you been staying in the Word? Or has your time with God been slipping? And I just looked at him and said, yeah, my time with God, I've been so busy and so stressed. My time with God has been slipping. How can we be strong if we allow that to happen? How can we remain strengthened if we don't stay in God's Word? If we're not being refreshed by it? It'd be like, man, I'm so tired. I'm exhausted. Well, have you been sleeping? No, who's got time for that? Just might encourage you to sleep. You might feel less tired if you sleep. You might find yourself more productive and with more time if you, in fact, sleep and take time to sleep. I mentioned this before, that sometimes when I get grumpy, Teresa will say to me, I think you should have lunch. I think you should eat. I'm fine. I'm just suggesting, urging, requesting that you not talk to anybody until you eat. There are things that we can do that help set us up, right, for success, or things that set us up for failure. And if we are not spending time in God's Word and being strengthened by God's Word, we are setting ourselves up for failure. We have to spend time meditating on, looking at God's Word so that it strengthens us, because it reminds us of the grace that we have in Christ Jesus. So that chapter 1, he's talking and he says in verse 8, "Therefore, don't be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in the suffering for the gospel by the power of God." Right? He could have said, "Don't be ashamed about the testimony of the Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in the suffering for the gospel." Timothy, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed of God. Don't be ashamed of me. Just suffer, man. You can do it. Man up. Endure. Put up with it. Life is tough. Deal with it. Life isn't fair. You'll be fine. He could have said all of those things, but he doesn't. What he says instead is, "Therefore, don't be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God," who, gospel, right? "Who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." That's different, isn't it? That's a different kind of nourishment. It's a different kind of encouragement. It's not suck it up and deal with it. It's look at what God has done. You don't have to be ashamed. You can deal with suffering. You can handle this because look at what God has done. He has loved you. He is with you. He is for you. He is empowering you. He has sent his Son to come and abolish death and bring life and immortality to light through the gospel. That's the kind of strength that we're looking for. You're going, "Well, sometimes I just open the Bible and I just read it and I get nothing. I get nothing." Yeah? That's okay. I mean, we want to open it up and every day have that great quiet time, that just really powerful mountaintop experience where you read the Bible and it makes sense and it empowers you and you fly through the rest of the day because look at what God has told you about his love for you and you just read that verse and you're... They're not all like that. Not every day is like that. But somehow, just like not every meal is the most amazing meal you've ever eaten before in your life, it gets you through the day. I mean, you had a bran muffin for breakfast. It'll get you through to lunch. It's not a Denver omelet. But it'll get you through to lunch. I had, last spring, one of the greatest experiences of my life. I went to a new restaurant that I'd never been to before. Somebody else took me there. And they brought meat around and said, "What would you like?" I mean, it's Parmesan encrusted, it's this and it's that. And at one point, this man comes up to me and I'm nearly full. I'm probably actually full in most circumstances. Except he walks up to me and he says, "Would you like some filet mignon wrapped in bacon?" And at that moment, I had a new definition for a great day. Not every time we spend in God's Word is filet mignon wrapped in bacon. But it nourishes us. It strengthens us. And so when we read it, it gets us through the day. Because we are spending time in God's grace and thinking about His grace. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. We take it and we open it up and we read it. And so, I just want to give you a couple of examples. What if I'm struggling with sin? Right? What? The thing that I've been struggling with, the thing I feel weak about right now is sin. I might open up Ephesians chapter 2. And in Ephesians chapter 2, we see this. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of the world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And He raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should work, that we should walk in them. And so when I'm struggling with sin, I might pull this one out. I might, if I'm really struggling, memorize this. But certainly meditate on it and think about it. About how, yes, in fact, we all have struggled with sin. We all used to walk in sin. That was our natural way of being. But God has taken us out of that. Being rich in His mercy, because of His great love, He made us alive together with Christ. And because of His grace, He has made us now to walk with Him in righteousness, in good works that He's prepared for us ahead of time. And as we think about that, we think about how the strength of the sin has been removed, and how God has loved us and given us grace so that we are continually forgiven of our sins because of what Jesus has done. And how Jesus has put before us not to walk in sin, but now to walk in good works. Not because of our own work, not because of our own strength or the things that we might do, but because He's placed them before us that we might walk in them. That's the kind of thing that when I'm struggling with sin, I open this up and I am strengthened. Be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. I'm reading about the grace that is in Christ Jesus with regard to sin because that's what I'm struggling with. Okay, what if we're struggling with something else? What if we're struggling to believe that God really loves us? Sometimes we find ourselves in that place. What if we're struggling to believe that God really loves us? Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, He might grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. That's filet mignon wrapped in bacon right there. This is good stuff. When I'm struggling to believe that God loves me, right? Because I know the things that I have done. And I know the thoughts that even as I know I should walk in goodness, and I still struggle with sin, I just want, God, could you really love me now? And Paul says, for this reason, I bow the knee before the Father, that you might know. Not just that God loves you, but the height and depth and breadth and length of His love for you. That you might be strengthened to comprehend it with all the saints. Because He's able to do far more abundantly than we could think or imagine. What if we're struggling to have joy? Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might for all endurance and patience, joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. If you're struggling to find joy, and then you read about this, about how Paul's prayer is that we be filled, right? We be filled with the knowledge of Him, that we might be strengthened, that we might joyfully give thanks to the Father because of what He has done, right? Because of the grace of Jesus, that He has taken us out of the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of light. And so we have great joy because of that. And so we read, right? So going back, you remember that the thing that we're actually talking about today is 2 Timothy chapter 2. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So the way that we experience the grace that is in Christ Jesus and that we are strengthened by it is we take God's Word and we open it up and we read it so that we might be strengthened day by day by day. And, he says, verse 2, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Pass it on. Pass it on. You, Timothy, I have given it to you. I have given this message to you that you might be strengthened. And now you, Timothy, have the responsibility that you must pass it on. You must pass it on. Entrust that same message to faithful men, that they might pass it on to others. Just as I passed it on to you, you now pass it on to others, and they will pass it on to more. In fact, this is how we have this. Have you thought about that? How is it that we can know this stuff? It was passed on. It was passed on from Jesus to the disciples. It was passed to Paul, who passed it to Timothy, who passed it to faithful men, who passed it on to others, who passed it on to others, who passed it on to others, who passed it down to us, so that we might have it. We're sort of in this relay race, right? Where the message has been handed off, and it's handed off, and then somebody else runs with it, and they hand it to you, and you run with it. And now what are you going to do with it? Well, first, I hope that you're strengthened with it, right? That was his first thing. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So you have received this message so that you might be strengthened. And then what are you going to do with it? Just going to walk around really strong? Going to be one of those bodybuilders who just bulks up and looks really strong, and you go, wow, that's really impressive. So what do? I lift weights. What's your end goal? Lifting weights. You going to lift anything else? No. I'm good. What? You're just strong for the sake of being strong? You're not going to put that to work? Man, if I was strong, I'd put that thing to work. Be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men. When you have been entrusted with this so that you might be strengthened, then are you just going to hang on to it? Well, I know that it was passed down from Paul to Timothy, and from Timothy to faithful men, who passed it on to faithful men, who passed it on to faithful people, who passed it on to faithful people, who passed it on to me. It's probably gone far enough. No. The message is being passed on. Even as the message was passed to Timothy and is now here in the Scriptures, that it might be passed to me, what I'm doing now is I'm passing the message on to you. That's why I'm here this morning. To pass this message on to you, that you as a faithful follower of Christ might pass it on to others. Some of you are going, nope. No. That is not me. I don't know how to do that. How would I do that? Well, just as you are strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus by opening up God's Word, we might just turn the book around and pass it on to somebody else. So I open it up and I read it and I'm nourished by it and I'm strengthened by it. And then what I do is I stand up here and I just turn it around and say, see? I got nothing else. It's not like I can give you my strength. If I gave you my strength, we'd run out of strength really quick. I would get tired and grumpy. We'd call it a day. You'd ask me to leave. If I was just giving you my strength. So I just stand up here and I open up the Scriptures and I say, see, this is what it says. I read it and it said, be strengthened. And so now I'm turning it around and I'm showing it to you. It says, be strengthened. So be strengthened. And pass it on. We have seen that this has been the case for a long, long, long time. That even Moses, right, got the law from God and passed it on to Joshua. Right? That was a long time ago. But it was passed on and passed on so that after the death of Moses, it says at the beginning of Joshua, the book of Joshua, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, you and all the people, into the land that I am giving them. And he tells them about the land that he has promised them and how they will inherit it. And then he says, verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left hand, and you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For when you make your way, then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Do you think he wanted Joshua to be strong and courageous? Yeah. Be strong and courageous. Why does he need to be strong and courageous? Because otherwise, he's going to be terrified. He has to lead these Israelites, and he's just taking the message that God gave to Moses, that Moses gave to him, that now he's handing on, and he's going, look, guys, be strong and courageous. Here we go. Here's the words that God has given to us in the law. Here's the words that God has given to us in the scriptures, that we are reading them, that we might be strong and courageous. Here we go. We're going to take over this land. And so now the message has been passed on and passed on and passed on, and it's being passed on to you. And you now be strengthened. Be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus and pass it on. Turn it around so that when others are going, I just don't know. I just don't know. Does God really love me? I'm just not sure. We just turn the Bible around. Ephesians 3. I'm just really struggling with joy. Colossians 1. I'm just really struggling with sin. Ephesians 2. Right? We just read it and then we turn it around and we let them read it and we show it to them. We say, this is the message that God has given to us, that we might be strong and courageous, pressing on. If you open up too many tabs, it's hard to find what you're looking for. There are advantages to paper sometimes. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will also be able to teach others. This is not that they might teach, that they might pass it on, that they could possibly if they felt like it. This is faithful people. Faithful people who are going to be faithful to the message. They're not going to look for hope in other places. They're not going to look for a message from other places. They're going to stay faithful to this message, to the gospel. And they're going to be faithful to pass it on. And so now I am passing it on to you. And I am saying, you, faithful people, you, faithful people, be strengthened in the grace that is in Christ Jesus and pass it on. Let's pray. Oh Lord God, we ask that you would help us to be strengthened. We recognize that we cannot strengthen ourselves, but we need you to strengthen us. And so, Lord, I pray, would you help these people to open your word daily, that they might meditate on it, that they might think about it, that they might see it, that it might help them day by day. And Lord, I pray that as you strengthen them, that then they would strengthen others, that they would pass the message along, that they would share the hope that they have within them. Not a hope that they have invented, not something that they are doing on their own, but that which comes from the grace of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you would make them courageous. I pray that you would make them strong, that they would not waver, that they would not be ashamed of the gospel, that they might not shirk from suffering. But Father, would you strengthen them? And then when they see in others frailty and weakness and struggle, Lord, I pray that these scriptures would come to mind, that they might pass them on, that more and more people may know the joy that we have in Christ Jesus. For it is in his name that we pray, and it is in his name that we sing. Amen.